prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can't prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free.
Faith meets reason, reason meets faith. They totally coexist right here on Truth Revolution. I'm Dave. With me is Jeff.
We are the e-harmony of brains and Bibles.
We are.
We love to have science and religion get together, hook up.
Yes, if you are the Bible, we have a brain for you.
Like, yo, baby, where you been all my life?
Right.
Stop talking to me like that, chemistry. What? I'm feeling the chemistry.
Right.
All right, that's really not funny. Okay, so today we're talking about whether...
It was so unfunny, it was funny.
Whether or not it's unscientific or illogical to talk about God stuff.
And I say no. So,
you say no. All right. End of show. Dave right. says no. All right. We're going to go ahead and get out of here. All right. No. All right. So is it unscientific? Is it illogical? Are you shutting your brain down when you talk about God and faith?
Right.
We're also going to answer Bible contradiction. Hopefully get to a listener question. You know, I'm going to contend something here, Dave.
Okay. You contend something all the time. So this isn't surprising.
I'm going to contend that is the other way around. That it is not only scientific and logical to talk about God, I'm going to say it's unscientific and illogical to not talk about God stuff or allow for God stuff.
Wow. You're going to step on some toes today, Jeff.
I'm really going to...
You could just shut your big yapper.
You know what? No, I'm not going to.
Right.
Because today...
He never does.
I never do. Metaphysical naturalism is this... belief that everything reduces to a natural material.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no miracles, there's no supernatural causes in the world. Right? Some people say miracles are impossible or even irrational.
Right.
I have a problem with this. Do you know why I have a problem with this?
Yes.
Why?
Because it's wrong.
Yes, that is why I have a problem with it. Because it would be impossible to ever come to the conclusion that God exists, no matter what the proof.
Right.
Okay, if you are suggesting that when you talk about God, you're unscientific, or if you talk about faith, you are illogical, then you are holding to metaphysical naturalism. You are saying that the only thing that exists is natural material, right. physical substances, and everything has a physical or natural explanation. And if you rule out any spiritual explanation at all, then it would be impossible for you to know God exists, yeah. no matter what the evidence was.
I would say that it's a very closed mind that actually takes half of what the answers might be and just throws it out the window.
Thanks for putting it that way. Mm-hmm. Right. They've taken half of, okay, you got natural and supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
By saying anything supernatural is automatically illogical, you've taken half of potential answers or subjects and just thrown them out.
Right.
I'm not even going to investigate them because I reject them out of hand. How would you like it if you went to a court case and you were on trial for murder, mm-hmm. and the people in the jury said, well, tell you what, it's either going to be innocent or guilty. What we're going to do is we're going to take innocent and we're just going to throw that category out.
Well, why are we even in court?
We're only going to decide what level of guilty you are.
Right.
Right. That's completely ridiculous to throw one of your two options away.
Right.
If you deny that anything spiritual or non-material exists, God could appear to you, provide you with feelings, give you material goods, even speak to you. God could speak to you, but you would naturally conclude that something naturalistic had happened. Like, whoa, something must have been in the water.
Right. Even I must have ate something bad.
Right. Even if God showed up to you, you would reject it. There's no way if you say if you're a materialist or a naturalist, there's no way for you to know that God exists. Right. Norm Geisler, an author, he wrote this.
He says, another argument revealing the inconsistency of pure naturalism was offered by C.S. Lewis. Quoting Haldane, Lewis wrote, if my mental processes are determined wholly by the motion of atoms in my brain, I have no reason to suppose that my beliefs are true. And hence, I have no reason to suppose my brain to be composed of atoms.
Wow.
If naturalism is claiming to be true, then there must be more than mere natural processes. There must be reasons. Which
reason,
which is not purely a natural physical process.
You get what he's saying there?
Yes.
Yeah. Let's break this down just a little bit.
Okay.
Okay. If you are completely natural, right? If you are if everything about you is totally physical, then you are wholly determined. Everything that's determined is nothing but the motion of the atoms bouncing around in your brain. Okay, the concept of free will doesn't actually exist if you are nothing but material substances, because it's just one thing fires, produces another thing that fires, produces a response that fires in your brain, all the atoms bouncing around together. You actually have no reason to believe that your beliefs are true, because your beliefs are just a natural mechanism happening.
Right.
Just like when someone puts you on hallucinogen drugs, that you get these crazy ideas that you can't hardly help, because those are just natural things bouncing around your head. Your atoms are firing when they shouldn't be firing. Mm-hmm. And so your brain, if it were natural, would be firing apart from any rational or truth claim. So you have no reason to actually believe whether those claims are true or false.
Right. Well, and the thing too is that if there is, in fact, if we have no mind at all, there's no reason there at all, which is what basically naturalism says, then we're either just like a lump of rock or a blob of flesh.
Now just to clarify, you said no mind. Dave doesn't mean no brain.
Right. I mean no mind, because a consciousness, which actually is apart from the physical, the natural physical
a
part of the
thought.
Being.
A thought is different than an atom in your brain.
Right. You can't reach out and grasp a thought.
Right.
Physically.
You could see the brain firing electrical impulses, neurons working. You could see that in the brain, but you can't actually grasp the thought. The thought is immaterial.
Right.
And so what he's simply saying is there is a big chasm between having a thought and having something physical happen.
Right. Amen.
So to have this mental process, if it was only a natural process, A made B happen, made C happen, made D happen, like marbles hitting each other or rolling down a hill, means that you didn't have that thought, you didn't have that idea.
Right.
It's just a natural function. Right. And if it's just a natural function, it doesn't mean it was reasoned. It means it's just a natural function, which means that you have no reason to believe that's actually true.
Right. And it all boils down to that there is all chaos. There is nothing ordered whatsoever.
So those are some huge problems with the metaphysical naturalism. Right. Now, there's also what's called methodological naturalism. Mm-hmm. All right, the other one, my biggest problem was, no matter what happens, if you were a complete naturalist, you couldn't believe God exists no matter what, even if he showed up to you.
Right.
The methodological naturalist doesn't say that there is no spiritual stuff. They say that, well, God and miracles might exist, maybe.
Right.
But I have to deny their existence when I study. Otherwise, I'm going to run into God of the gaps.
Right.
Well, you know what God of the Gaps is?
Yeah, it means if you find something that you can't explain, you attribute it to God.
That's right. Like, wow, I don't understand how stars form. God must just bat his eyes and that's how stars form.
Right.
And so you stop studying how materials coalesce and how nuclear stuff works, and you just stop thinking about all that stuff.
Right.
But that's God of the Gaps. You know what? God of the Gaps is a problem.
It is.
It could be a problem. Now,
and this is actually two Christians saying this.
Yeah.
We don't want to just attribute everything to God, although everything should be, everything is here to give God glory. But we want to go farther than finding out, well, God did that.
Yes.
We want to find out, well, how did that happen and why? You know, what are the processes that lead to that?
Right. So we don't want to place God or miracles into any situation that doesn't have a scientific explanation. That's not what we want to do. Additionally, we should note that if God and miracles do exist, then we may be missing the point in denying a priori an entire category of answers, just like in the other one. Right? Denying God's existence when you study would be naturalism of the gaps.
Right, which basically says if you can't explain what happens, well, obviously it was natural and God had nothing to do with it.
That's right. We don't want to do that either. Right. We should seek to find the truth about whether it was God or miracles have interacted with nature, or whether it was simply a natural thing that had a perfectly good explanation scientifically. Right. We should seek all possible answers and not just throw anything out.
Amen.
Dembski, the author, noted that not all gaps are created equal.
Okay.
In this regard, he's absolutely correct. Okay, I'm reading a quote here. Simply allowing for a designer to be a possible answer in no way demands that he be the answer in every case. Some gaps are obviously answerable, even though we may not have the answer yet. Some things are undiscovered, but we don't say that they do not exist, like certain elements. Right. We simply theorize based on our current knowledge. And of course, some things we can't explain, and these gaps may be candidates for a designer.
Right.
Maybe a designer designed the universe that way. That doesn't mean we don't study scientific stuff, but right. It also means that we allow for a possible spiritual explanation.
Right. And we know that God created the universe, but just because we know that God created the universe should not stop us from studying the universe.
Right.
You know,
if we're seeking the truth, we can't throw out an entire category of answers.
Right.
Actually, let me ask that as a question form. If you're seeking the truth, can you throw out an entire category of answers?
No.
I'm not saying throw out a few possible specific answers like, well, look, I'm looking for what happened to my keys because I lost them. I'm going to go ahead and throw out a pink unicorn came running through my house and accidentally looped the key around their unicorn horn and ran outside the house without anybody seeing them.
I would never throw that one out.
Then you have a problem. Right. I'm going to go ahead and throw that answer out.
Right.
What we don't want to do when we're studying things that we don't have a grasp on yet, not like where my keys go, or maybe where my keys go. Mm. But when we're studying things that we don't have a grasp on yet, we don't want to throw out an entire category answer like someone took my keys.
Right.
Maybe we can throw out the pink unicorn stole it with its unicorn horn and I didn't see a horse run through my house.
Right.
Maybe we can throw that out, but we don't want to throw out everything about someone possibly took my keys.
Right, exactly. Because like you said earlier, if we are seeking truth, then we must be open to every answer.
Yeah.
Regardless, because if you throw out a whole entire category of answers, you may be missing the truth.
Right. We want to find answers that correspond to how things really are, that correspond to reality.
Right.
So when we say an entire category of answers, maybe you can throw out there's a purple monkey who's invisible in the sky that shoots monkey farts and that's why bad things happen. That's fine. You can throw that one out because doesn't seem to correspond to reality at all. But maybe there was a designer who designed our universe, and our universe seems pretty complex.
Yes.
And something had to have started it. That's an entire category of answers, spiritual stuff that you don't want to just get rid of a priori.
Amen.
What if a colorblind person was a teacher? Would they deny the existence of orange because it didn't fit into their worldview?
No, absolutely. Why would they do that?
The notion that a designer should be included in scientific inquiry itself requires a scientific explanation, which is impossible. Listen to the sentence. The notion that a designer should not be included in scientific inquiry itself requires a scientific explanation, which is impossible.
Okay.
If you're saying, look, there was no designer, and I when you want to talk about science stuff, let's rule out the possibility of a designer. Well, to rule something out, you need a scientific explanation to rule it out.
Right.
If you're really doing science.
Right. And that's the way real science goes.
Right. But you haven't done that.
Right.
You haven't ruled a designer out scientifically. You've just said, I don't want that answer.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make sense to me. And this shows the logical flaw of disregarding a designer. All right. You know what we're going to do, Dave? We're going to do a book recommendation.
Okay.
You ready to do a book recommendation?
Yes.
Read a book.
All right. This book is pink.
It is very pink. It's actually two-tone pink almost.
This is The Only Wise God by William Lane Craig. He's a research professor at the Talbot School of Theology. Now, this book is actually fairly old, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But it's really good. It's about the front cover says the compatibility of divine foreknowledge and human freedom. So this is William Lane Craig. He is a deep, deep writer.
Right.
When you read his stuff, you're going to have to read it two or three times to even start to grasp it. Right?
Well, I have to read the cover a couple of times.
But if you want to know how humans can be free at the same time that God knew what was going to happen, how you have choice, even though God knows what you're going to do.
Yeah, snap. I'm getting that
this
one.
This book right here.
Yeah.
The Only Wise God by William Lane Craig. Good stuff. All right, we're going to be right back. We're going to finish talking about this stuff. Can God make a mountain so big that he cannot lift it?
Oh, boy, here we go with that question.
If God knows everything and his knowledge is perfect, is everything predetermined?
Oh, boy.
God is a crutch for weak people to lean on. We're going to talk about all these things.
Okay.
Are miracles possible? We're going to hit these things in the second half of the show.
All right.
Now that we've refuted naturalism and the use of naturalism, we're going to move on to some of these other questions.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right, truthrevolution.tv is the website. Revolution Church is the church. I want to see you at Revolution Church, please.
In the front row.
That's right. Tats, t-shirt, jeans. Come on out. 9-11.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
It's our 200th Truth Shot.
No way!
Yes way!
As a celebration, this Truth Shot is about nothing.
And everything. Actually, it's about you.
Me?
No, the listener.
Listener? Listen.
If you like Truth Revolution, here's how you can help. Remember the acronym SHARP.
S is for share, as in share our posts and information on your Twitter, Facebook, with your church, or other places.
H is for habit. Make it a habit to visit truthrevolution.tv and see what new updates we have.
A is for ask. Ask questions. Let us know that you listen, and what are your questions? What are your comments? Contact us.
R is for resources. Consider donating financially to help keep us online and on the air.
P is for pray. Pray for us so that we'll have an effective ministry and that God would use Truth Revolution to help more and more people all the time.
So remember, sharp,
share,
habit,
ask,
resources,
and pray.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Hey, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church.
And I'm Dave. You know, God cares more about what's on the inside of a person than on the outside.
That's right. Join us Sunday morning at 9 or 11 a.m. online at revo.church.
What if someone had never been to church before?
Most people here hadn't been for a long time, if ever, so you'll fit in fine.
What to wear? Just be yourself. Jeans, t-shirt, tats, whatever.
Revolution Church, Sunday morning, 9 or 11 a.m.
online at revo.church.
That's revo.church.
Revolution! Did you know that Truth Revolution is supported by Revolution Church and listeners like you?
It takes quite a bit of time and money to produce a quality radio show.
If you find Truth Revolution helpful, a donation would be a powerful way to make sure the message keeps going out.
This ministry is doing more than Dave and I imagined it would at the beginning.
You got that right.
And as we grow, we want to keep the goal the same. To be the place where faith and reason meet.
Donations are accepted at www.truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church. Not only am I the host of the Truth Revolution radio program, but I'm also a foster parent. Did you know that there are only 20 or 30 children in Salina that need to be adopted right now? Did you know that there are children in foster care who want to live in Salina, but are sometimes placed in other towns because we don't have enough foster homes here? I want to challenge you to consider foster care today. If you're interested in doing foster care, go to kfapa.com. That's K-F-A-P-A, as in the Kansas Foster and Adoptive Parent Association.com. K-F-A-P-A.com, and get more information. You can request information, email and ask any questions you want, or possibly even sign up to take a class about foster parenting. It's easier and more difficult than you'd ever imagine, but it's also more rewarding than you'd ever imagine. Consider fostering and helping a child in need today.
Truth Revolution.
And we're back.
All right, we're talking about God.
Duh. Yeah.
And naturalism. Is it unscientific to talk about God? Well, we've talked about naturalism and how ridiculous it is to rule out an entire category of spiritual answers.
Yes.
Now let's ask a couple other questions, okay? Can we conclusively prove God's existence scientifically? No. No, and that's okay.
Okay.
The scientific method is basically observe, hypothesize, test, and repeat until a conclusion is reached. You can't really test on God.
Right.
He doesn't fit into your beaker.
Right. It's like we were talking about one time. If you were to be observing a deer, and the deer know that you were observing it, and the deer had its own will, and it knew exactly what you were doing, it's going to start doing things that might not fit what you think a deer might do.
Right. It's why we have double blind studies.
That deer is walking on two legs. It would just get weird.
It's why we have double blind studies. Because when something knows it's being studied, your study's done.
Right.
Right. So you cannot study God in the scientific way and make it mean anything. Prayer studies mean nothing. They don't. They don't mean, I mean, you're testing God. God has said, don't test me. He's already said, I don't want you to test me. You do this, I'm not participating in your little test.
Yeah, there have been a few articles come out of late talking about the power of prayer. Does it really work?
Yeah.
And it's like, what?
It's not a force. It's a being.
Right.
And he's already told us he doesn't want to be tested. So, right. That doesn't mean we don't want intellectual curiosity. For any skeptics that are listening, There's a difference between me going, I'm going to test Dave. I'm going to throw myself off my motorcycle and see if he'll catch me. And just saying, you know what?
Depends on how fast you're going.
Dave said this. What does he mean by that? I'm not sure I believe Dave when he says this. I'm going to try to figure this out. Okay, that's okay.
Yes.
That's okay to study and be intellectual.
That's a good point.
And observe. It's an entirely different thing to say, I'm just going to test you and do things you've asked me not to do.
Right.
So, all right. Here's another question. Can we conclusively prove God's existence historically, like through archaeology?
No.
You can't really prove anything historically. You can only test the results of history, not history itself.
Right.
If we are to use science and history, how should we use them? Well, as helpful facts along the way. You combine them together, you make arguments for and against something, but nothing absolutely conclusive. You have probabilities, not absolutes.
Right. There are certain things that we study where you can't actually find proof of it in and of itself, but there is a mounting mound of evidence that leads you to a conclusion.
That's right. That's why we look at all the different arguments for God and we're like, wow, the cosmological, the teleological, the ontological, the axiological, all these different things, like boom, 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 boom. Wow, that's a lot of evidence. Then we look at the prophecies and then we look at the mathematical probability that you could fulfill those prophecies. Then we look at the Jesus' death, the empty tomb, his appearances, the transformation of the people, the claims of the people who died saying he had risen from the dead. We add all these things up together and we're like, dude.
Right.
Dude.
Whereas any one of those by themselves may not have moved a person.
Yeah.
But you look at it all at one big picture.
Yeah. Any one of those things by themselves wouldn't be enough, to be honest. It probably wouldn't be enough. But you put them all together and like, wow, we have a legal case here, so to speak. All right. Let's get to some of these things where people say, well, God exists. Well, what about this logical question?
Right.
Since we're talking about whether it's illogical to believe in God, right?
Right.
Can God make a mountain so big that he cannot lift it? Or as Homer Simpson said, can God microwave a burrito so hot that he himself cannot eat it?
Yeah, I can imagine that one. But, you know, the thing is that we cannot actually ask these kind of questions about God.
Why?
Because it's one of those things where it's a self-defeating thing. I don't know really how to explain it. You know, yes, God can create a mountain that he can't move. But why would he? Or
no, the answer is no, actually.
Well,
no, God cannot create a mountain so big that he cannot lift it.
That's true. But the thing is that it's just a circular question. You know what I'm saying? It's not it's one of those things that you cannot have an answer to.
Well, see, they're thinking God is all powerful, so he can make something that he can't even lift.
Right.
God can do all things that are logically possible is what we actually mean by God is all powerful. It is not logically possible for an all powerful being not to be able to lift something. So he can't make something bigger than he can lift. No, the answer is no, he cannot.
Okay.
So they're trying to show the illogical statement that God exists and is all powerful, but they're just misunderstanding the statement. The statement is not God can do all things. It's God can do all things that are logically possible.
Right.
They're taking a colloquial statement and using it as a technical statement.
Right.
All right, the next one. If God knows everything and his knowledge is perfect, then everything is predetermined and there's no such thing as free will. Well, first of all, even if this is true, does it mean that God doesn't exist?
No.
No, it would just mean that you're predetermined.
Right.
But number two, knowing what men will do is not the same thing as forcing men to do it.
Right. Let's be honest.
You got to get this book.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right? This is what this book talks about.
Yeah. And God made man. He made the human mind. He knows how it works.
Yeah.
He knows the amount of hairs on our head. And he has had an eternity to study what we're about.
Well, you know? I think it's more than that. I think God, in one sense, determined what we would do, but we also have free will.
Right.
Imagine you're deciding what you have for lunch. And I have secretly put an implant in your brain that will force you to choose tacos for lunch.
Great.
You go, you're riding your motorcycle, you pull up to the stoplight, and you either can turn right and go to the taco store, or you can turn left and go to the burger store. Now, do you have a choice? Careful here.
The choice is actually put before me.
Yes, you have a choice. Yeah. Now, some people say, well, no, he doesn't have a choice because you got that thing in his brain. If he turns left, you just push the button. He's going to turn right and choose tacos.
Right.
But let's say Dave pulls up there and he turns right and chooses tacos. Did you make that choice yourself? Let's say I didn't push the button. You just went up and chose tacos. Right. Did you make that choice?
Yes.
Were you able to choose otherwise?
Yes.
No.
Why?
Because I would have pushed the button. You were not able to choose otherwise, but you still freely chose. God has determined what we would do, but we also freely choose it. Freely choosing it and God determining it is not incompatible.
That just really blew my mind. Thank you. Oh, okay. Man.
We should do a whole show on that someday.
I think you're actually going to do the rest of this show by yourself.
You're having brain seizures on the floor right now. Did we do a Bible contradiction yet?
We did not.
Okay, let's do a Bible contradiction.
Bible contradiction.
All right, this one's right up your alley, Jeff.
What?
Do you answer a fool? Well, Proverbs 26:4 says, "Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be unto him, like unto him." Proverbs 26:5, the verse
next
exactly
verse.
Right after it, "Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit."
All right, this is on infidels.org.
Mm-hmm.
They say this is a contradiction. This just shows how bad some of these contradictions are sometimes.
Right.
All right. And I don't mean bad like bad for the Bible. I mean bad like people aren't even trying to give credit. And that's our second C in the CRACKED acronym.
Right.
CRACKED. C stands for credibility. Yeah. Like, man, when you see something that looks a little bit off, don't just go, "Contradiction, you're wrong," and walk out of the room. Don't just drop the mic and be like, "I'm right."
Right. There's that naturalism of the gaps again.
Why might... You got to remember, first of all, that the Bible didn't have chapter and verse when it was written, right? We put those in to make it easier to find stuff.
Yes.
But this was written, and when it was originally written, it said, not two verses, but it said, "Answer not a fool according to his folly, or you're going to be like him."
Right.
"Answer a fool according to his folly, otherwise he'll be wise in his own eyes."
Yeah.
This guy purposely wrote these things right beside each other. Do you think he did that and wrote that? He wrote one. He's like, "You know what? Don't answer a fool. Let's think of another thing that's really smart. Huh. Oh, I got one. Do answer a fool. Oh, that's good." No. No. He didn't completely forget what he just said. Look for the D for dialect. Okay. The D for dialect and the A for author's intention. What was he intending to communicate? What type of language was he using? He was using purposefully back and forth language, right? He was ping-ponging here.
Right.
We do it all the time, you know? We're like, we'll say, "Hey, if you're not hot, you're cold. Or if you're not for me, you're against me." Or things like that, right? He's saying, answer the fool, don't answer the fool. There are times to answer. There are times not to answer. Right? He's purposely doing this. You know, if you don't answer the fool, he might think he's wise. But if you do, you're going to sometimes fall into his trap.
Right.
That's all this is trying to communicate. There's a time to answer the fool and a time not to answer the fool. This is not a contradiction. You just got to give a little bit of credit.
Bible contradiction.
Yeah. Let's do the listener question while we got time for it. How about that? Yeah?
All right.
All right, let's do it.
I got a question.
This came in via email. Does God help those
text
who
message.
Help themselves?
Does God help those who help themselves?
Right.
Yeah. No. It's not a Bible verse.
Maybe not.
It's not a Bible verse. Some people say, well, in the Bible it says God helps those who help themselves.
Right.
That's not a Bible verse.
Like cleanliness is next to godliness.
Right. That's not a Bible verse.
Right.
It's true, but it's not a Bible verse.
Right.
Second Chronicles 1:1. Listen to this verse. Okay. Does God help those who help themselves? Mm-hmm. I want you to listen. This helps us answer it.
Solomon, son of David, established himself firmly over his kingdom, for the Lord his God was with him and made him exceedingly great.
Okay. God was with Solomon and made him exceedingly great.
Right.
In our scripture, the word "for" is in there. Okay. Solomon established his kingdom for the Lord God was with him. All right. But in the Hebrew, it's not even there.
Huh.
It sounds like because, right?
Yeah.
Solomon was great because God was with him. But it's not there in the Hebrew. It's just a matter of fact. He was great and God was with him. Duh. It's the same thing. Solomon certainly worked hard, right? He established himself firmly is what the Bible says.
Right.
He established himself. But then it also says God was with him. It's both. We work hard. God makes it work out. We work hard. God works it out. Proverbs 16:9, in his heart, man plans a course, but the Lord determines his step. I wish I had more minutes to talk about this, but do you think bricks made the kingdom Solomon made? No. God was with him. God made him exceedingly great. I don't pretend to ever answer every question about how this works, but it's not bricks or horses or money that establishes kingdoms. It's right. God. And I'm not saying we don't work hard. If you look at the book of Ruth, you work hard. Solomon established his kingdom. We work hard. God works it out.
Amen.
Okay. TruthRevolution.tv. Come on out to Revolution Church. We'd love to have you. Send us in any questions, thoughts, or challenges. TruthRevolution.tv.